Welcome to History in 6, a place where we sample history in 6-minute increments. I'm your host, T. Melindel. Today we're going to talk about Cotton Mather. Time is short. Let's jump into it. Cotton Mather was born in 1663. He was born at a time where New England was still outwardly the religious commonwealth that the Pilgrim Fathers had envisioned. But at this time, religion was beginning to lose its grip on government, and the move for secularization was growing in the New World. He was a Puritan blue blood coming from two of the biggest families in Boston, and he was extremely intelligent. He entered Harvard at the age of 12. He was the youngest to ever enroll there. He graduated Harvard at 15 and received his master's degree at 18. I mean, think about this. You're going to advanced school at age 12, which would be typically sixth grade. And by the time most people would be getting out of kind of the high school range in today's society, he had his master's degree from Harvard. And he was a keen scientist. He earned his honorary doctorate of divinity from Glasgow. Divinity back then was a scientific pursuit. Member of the Royal Society, which was the leading scientific body at the time. And he spent his entire life acquiring knowledge and regurgitating it. He learned 7 languages. He wrote 450 published books. I'm sure he wrote more that were never published. And he had 6 huge volumes of his diaries. He was a man who stood at the forefront of the thought that religion is the friend of enlightenment. I mean, he was deeply Puritan, but he was also an advocate for scientific advancement. He believed that science was just an extension of religion. He was a man who promoted public charity. He wrote about the rights of slaves and Indians. He tried to bring order to the medical and legal professions in the New World. He was truly a man for all seasons, a forerunner for Benjamin Franklin. I mean, he seemed destined to inherit his father's presidency of the college and become a top leader of the intellectual and religious community for all of New England. But neither happened. He was defeated in his attempt for presidency of Harvard, and it was his role in the Salem witch trials which condemned him to the public. His chance to shine, as Benjamin Franklin did, was buried by his role in the Salem witch trials. It was his scientific background that made him such a strong proponent of witch hunting. His argument was that the existence of witches was collateral proof of the life to come, of heaven, basically. Since there are witches and devils, we may conclude that there are immortal souls, that there is heaven. He believed that the trials, if they were pursued vigorously enough, would expose the whole machinery of witchcraft and the operations of the devil. And it was these beliefs that helped fuel the hysteria of the trials. Well before he died, Cotton realized that the times had moved against him, and the kind of religion brought by the pilgrims was changing beyond his recognition. It was in 1702 that he published his masterpiece, Magnalia Christi Americana. It was an epic history of the New England religious experiment. It cataloged the attempt to create the kingdom of God in the New World. I mean, it covered important religious figures in New England, the founding of Harvard, the struggle between Puritans and Indians. It had accounts for the Salem witch trials. And it discussed the challenges and triumphs of establishing Puritan communities in the New World. It was a gold mine for future historians. But in this, he began to see how things were turning. Quote, religion brought forth prosperity, and the daughter destroyed the mother. Quote, in this new world, the mercantile system had flourished. Preachers getting the congregations to amass more wealth as an outward sign of inward grace. The success of the American experiment was beginning to undermine its divine mission. Quote, there is danger lest enchantments of this world make them forget their errand into the wilderness. Quote, basically, their prosperity made them forget why they came to the New World to begin with. Preachers encouraged their congregation to amass more wealth as as a symbol of inward grace, as a sign that God's blessing was shining on them. This was a turning point for the colony. As it moved from religious fanaticism towards a more secular approach to government. And this is what's something that happens in many idealistic communities when they form. Each successive generation doesn't always share the goals of their parents. So the parents came to America to bring God's community to earth. The kids who were wealthier were no longer focused solely on survival. We can take on education. We can begin to look at science. We can begin to look at other areas of profession. And so the children didn't share the same goals as the parents. As such, we see the colony maturing, and the foundations for a future America were beginning to take shape. If you've enjoyed this episode, tell a friend about us. If you haven't already, subscribe to get future content. And as always, have a great day if you want to.